Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Thank you for listening in. I am your host for today, Susan Franson, with engineer Cynthia McClure to keep things running smoothly. It's Friday, so we have the news from the Ames Tribune with Dennis Hart. Take it away, Dennis.
Thanks very much. It's great to be back here on this first Friday in May. Let's start the way we usually do, with a look back to last Saturday, when there was word that no one was injured in a fire that heavily damaged a duplex on 28th Street in Ames on Friday morning. No one was home when the fire broke out at 1110 28th Street, and a resident living in the attached structure escaped without injury. The fire damaged both sides of the duplex, making the entire structure uninhabitable. Damage was estimated at $30,000. Also Saturday, a report on the construction project that will expand Iowa State University's Jardine Business Building. The $28 million project started in February and is expected to be completed in the fall of 2020. Starting May 13th, part of Wallace Road will be closed for part of the project and will stay closed until everything's done. There was more last Saturday, including a story that three Iowa State University sociology professors had analyzed how and why Iowa had changed directions politically in 2016, choosing Republican Donald Trump in the presidential race after having previously chosen Democrat Barack Obama in the two elections before that. The professors concluded that white, rural voters without a college education were influential in the shift, that culture and identity, not the economy, drove that swing. And one more note from last Saturday, a preview story about what's going to happen in downtown Ames starting this coming Saturday, tomorrow. The Farmers Market on Main Street will open for the season, with food trucks, activities for all ages, and products from a variety of vendors. Tomorrow will feature the market's annual Food Truck Showdown, in which 15 local food trucks will park along Main Street in hopes of winning. Live music will be featured, and there will be pony rides, a petting zoo, face painting, and a cooking contest for kids. The Farmers Market will be open from 8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. each Saturday from tomorrow through October 12th. Sunday brought word that three Democratic presidential hopefuls had visited Boone Democrats on Saturday night. Andrew Yang, Congressman Tulsi Gabbard, and Congressman Eric Swalwell showed up at the Central Iowa Expo in Boone to speak at the Democratic ball. Yang talked about his proposal to provide a monthly $1,000 dividend to Americans. Gabbard said, standing united and making sure all Americans' voices are heard should be the main priority for the country. Swalwell said education was the issue he thought needed to be addressed. Also Sunday, a story about the Reggie's Sleepout event that took place in Ames on Friday night. Tents and boxes had been set up at the Cyclone Sports Complex, and those who took part helped raise money for youth homelessness in Central Iowa. It's named for Reggie Kelsey, an 18-year-old who died homeless and destitute. There was more last Sunday, including word that the United Way of Story County was about to start collecting donations for food pantries during its annual food drive. The drive began this past Monday and runs through next Thursday for 14 food pantries. About 15% of Story County's population is considered to be food insecure. Last year's food drive resulted in 11,000 pounds of food collections, along with $7,500 in donations. There was also a story about an Iowa State University student who decided to research why college is so expensive. So Brandon Beecham looked at financial statements going back nearly 30 years and determined that state appropriations, the money the state of Iowa gives Iowa State University, had dropped. The group of students impacted the most? Non-resident students. Tuesday brought word that resident undergraduate students planning to attend either Iowa State University or the University of Iowa next fall will pay 3.9% more in tuition than this year if the State Board of Regents approves a staff recommendation. In addition, Iowa State University wants to increase out-of-state undergrad rates by 5% and raise student fees about 2.5% for all students. The proposed tuition and fee increases would bring the total annual cost for a resident undergrad to about $9,300 at Iowa State University. Also Tuesday, word that trial has been canceled in the case of a former Iowa State University basketball player who filed a lawsuit claiming the university and the Board of Regents had wrongfully interfered with chances that may have been available to him if he had not been suspended following sexual assault charges years ago. Boo Boo Paulo filed a lawsuit after he was suspended from the basketball team following his arrest on the sexual assault charges, charges that were later dropped. A Story County District Court judge dismissed the lawsuit. One more note from Tuesday involving Iowa State University, a report that the statue of Jack Trice will find its home back on Central Campus after being located on the north side of Jack Trice Stadium since 1997. The statue is being relocated because of the construction of the new Sports Performance Center. Jack Trice was the first black football player at Iowa State University. He died after a game in 1923. There was more on Tuesday, including word that the liquor licenses had been suspended for three Main Street businesses in Ames. The suspension of the licenses for the Old Main Brewing Company, Corner Pocket, and DG's Tap House will take effect May 13th and end on November 13th. During that time, alcohol cannot be sold, served, consumed, or given away at those places. Authorities said the businesses, among other things, owed substantial amounts of state tax, consistently failed to promptly pay Ames for municipal utility services, and failed to maintain records as required by law. The business's owner, Scott Griffin of Ames, said he is exploring what to do next. Also Tuesday, word that the title of Iowa's top mixologist has gone to an Ames bartender, who was just named champion of a competition sponsored by the Iowa Restaurant Association. Ryan Jeffrey, who works at the Arcadia Cafe, was named the state's mixology champion. Bartenders in the competition were asked to create three cocktails for a panel of judges. The drinks were judged on taste, appearance, overall creativity, and personality. And one more note from Tuesday, Ron Hellenbeck retired from his role as executive vice president of the Ames Chamber of Commerce this week. Hellenbeck had a career with IBM and worked extensively with the Ames Seed Capital Fund. He said he will remain in Ames, but plans to travel with his wife. Wednesday brought the news that Ames High School had been ranked the best high school in the state of Iowa by U.S. News. Ames was rated tops with an overall scorecard of 94.69 out of 100. Schools were ranked on their performance on state-mandated tests, on graduation, and on how well they prepare their students for college. Also Wednesday, word that the Story County Board of Supervisors will examine its process of funding for events such as the Iowa Games, after a long discussion about tourism funding at Tuesday's meeting. The board's tourism funding is about $9,300. The board talked about whether the county is providing an equitable pathway for events and organizations to receive funding. Supervisor Loris Olson said some large events were not aware they could apply for money, and that the board's past automatic funding of $4,000 to the Iowa Games was unfair. Supervisor Rick Sanders said there was precedence for the funding of the Iowa Games. There was more Wednesday, including a report that Fleet Farm is planning to build a store in Ames. The proposed location for the store is along East 13th Street, east of Interstate 35. Ames City Planner Justin Moore said things are in the preliminary stages for a possible 185,000-square-foot Fleet Farm store. Construction could start at the end of this year and be completed by fall of next year, but that time frame would require City Council approval within the next few months. There was also word that the project to turn the former Crawford Elementary School in Ames into a condominium had been awarded an Historic Preservation Award for adaptive reuse. The Crawford project will convert the former school into 30 independent living apartments for residents 55 years old and older. And there was word on Wednesday about upcoming campaign stops in Story County and in Boone by four Democratic presidential hopefuls. Senator Elizabeth Warren was the first scheduled to come, making a campaign appearance at Iowa State University this afternoon. Tomorrow, Saturday, Senator Bernie Sanders will hold a town hall rally in the Memorial Union Sunroom on campus. Beto O'Rourke will hold a meet and greet in Boone next Tuesday, and Julian Castro will come to Ames also next Tuesday. Thursday, yesterday, brought a summary of what happened during the state legislative session that has just ended and its impact on Ames. The legislature passed a bill that prohibits cities from adopting or enforcing rental caps. If the governor signs it, it would effectively cancel the ordinance the city of Ames passed last year that imposed a 25% limit on rental properties in neighborhoods near Iowa State University. Lawmakers did not pass Emily's Law, which was named after an Iowa State University student who was struck and killed by a Cyride bus in 2015. The proposed law would have imposed new requirements on anyone driving a motor vehicle who leaves the scene of an accident. The bill stalled in the state Senate. Also yesterday, a report that Iowa ranked near the bottom when it comes to punishing people who abuse and torture dogs and cats. Iowa and Kansas are the only states that have no clear legal definition of basic standards of care for animals. Animal activists said they were frustrated that attempts to fix that situation failed on the state Senate floor during this year's Iowa legislative session. There was also a report that Iowa State University had hired a new dean of engineering. W. Samuel Easterling will start his new duties July 15th. He is now a professor at Virginia Tech. And there you have it, your summary of the week's news from the pages of the Ames Tribune. I'm Dennis Hart, about to take the weekend off, but planning to return to this very seat on Monday, relaxed and refreshed and ready to bring you news from around the state of Iowa. In the meantime, have a safe, healthy, and happy weekend.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way. All the sounds of the earth are like music. All the sounds of the earth are like music. The breeze is so busy, it don't miss a tree. And old weeping willow is laughing at me. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way. Oh, what a beautiful day.
This is KHOI Community Radio, Story City, Ames, and the surrounding area. And we first heard from Dennis Hart with the news, and then we had the weather. And it's so great to have a weather report that sounds like a song, or I should say a song that sounds like a weather report that is accurate for Friday, May 3rd. Cal Halliburton has come in to join me. Cal is our political reporter. And did you notice, Cal, that Dennis's news started with the Boone visits by three Democratic presidential candidates and ended with a summary of the bills passed or failed to pass at the close of the legislative session? So with all that political news, I'm glad you're here to help us through the political season, which is starting right now. Already in Boone, they've had political candidates. I think you've already interviewed one for KHOI.
We've had a number of political candidates in Ames already, and we've had, we had Eric Swalwell this last Saturday in Nevada. So, and then, of course, much earlier, I interviewed Congressman John Delaney, and we have that on our archives now. So we're keeping after these folks as they come here and seeing if we can capture a few minutes of their time and have a good interview and ask them some, well, pointed questions about policies that will have an effect on us here in Iowa.
Well, this coming up weekend is going to be pretty busy. Friday, today is Friday, mm-hmm. And I believe Elizabeth Warren is somewhere.
Yes, Senator Warren will be on the Iowa State campus in the Memorial Union, I believe, doing a gathering there. And then she's off on a tour up through central Iowa, to Iowa Falls and other places north. So she's on that trip. Then on Saturday, Senator Bernie Sanders is on the Iowa State campus, also in the Memorial Union. And he has additional tour spots, I believe, also here in central Iowa.
Now, are you planning to go to either of these events?
Well, I will be attempting to get some interview time with Senator Warren. We were unable to get one scheduled here in the studio before or after her appearance at Iowa State. So I'm going up to Iowa Falls and see if I can get close enough to get an interview there.
Okay. And what about Bernie?
Well, Bernie still has me waiting. His staff has gotten back to me, and they've said that they would respond a little later. I'm still waiting. Hopefully, I'll get some time with him. If I don't get anything scheduled in the studio, then, of course, I'll go out to his gathering there on campus.
Which is, it starts at noon, is that right? But they're letting people in at 10:30, is that?
I believe that's the case. They're expecting a rather large crowd, I assume.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I believe the last campaign, you tried to interview all, I guess there were, you had candidates for many different offices.
Yes, we interviewed candidates for Secretary of Well, let's back up a little. We interviewed candidates who had opponents in the primary election. And so as a result, we interviewed candidates for Secretary of State because there was a primary there. We interviewed candidates for governor. And we interviewed candidates for the 4th Congressional District, all those who had opponents. We interviewed both Democrats and Republicans, and we interviewed the Libertarian candidates for governor. So we had a fairly successful season, I think, during the last campaign.
Well, how can listeners catch these? I mean, they're... do we have a place where we can find them? I think last time we used to sprinkle them through local talk. So if you didn't happen to be listening that day, you missed that candidate.
Well, we do have a place where you can catch them, if we can get them. And that's on the KHOIFM.org website. And it's under the local talk programming with Candidates for Cal. Just go there and you'll still find interviews with the candidates from the last campaign. And we might, some folks might hope that some of those people would be back in the race again.
Okay. But so are we going to keep those? This won't be confusing to people who are looking for the many, many, many primary candidates who are going to be probably coming through.
We'll probably clean up that website and put on other candidates for president and for the 4th Congressional District as we get them.
Okay. Well, it'll be an exciting time, a busy, busy, busy time. Now, since we still have a little bit of our fund drive left, I would like to point out to our listeners that one thing that characterizes KHOI, in addition to trying to be even-handed in the interviewing, you pretty much ask the same questions of all the candidates, is that right, for a certain office?
Yes, I do. I have a rather lengthy list of issues that we like to approach, starting with those that might be of special interest to people in Iowa, like, what are we doing about the squeeze that farmers find themselves in between with regard to price of their inputs, and and what they earn then from selling their products. So there's a big squeeze that the multinationals are putting on that. Farmers are not making as much money as they might. That's certainly an issue. Another issue would be confined animal operations. You know, we have 8,000 pools of poop around the state right now, and what do we do with those? We've got a variety of things that are being done now. What can be done at the federal level with that?
That's really interesting. That is not something I've heard any of the candidates talking about.
It's not something that comes up nationally by any stretch, but in Iowa, it's an issue because it deals with the quality of our air and the quality of our drinking water.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how they approach that. I remember that Senator McCain sort of went down when he did not support ethanol. That, of course, is a somewhat different issue. But anyhow,
well, it's still one that is of concern to folks here in Story County.
Oh, you bet, you bet. I recently went to a tour of the Lincoln Energy plant, Lincoln Way Energy, which is near Nevada, with Amy Klobuchar, and discovered from the conversation around the table with the other people who'd gone through the plant with her, some being farmers and some being the people at the plant, that something like 90% of the corn grown in Story County is used for ethanol.
Oh,
that's pretty amazing. I should be a little careful of that because the percentage just knocked me over. Something that was completely new to me. So I thought this is an area we've done some programs recently on ethanol and biofuels, mm-hmm. and I think that. If you're not in the farm economy, you don't quite realize just what a big, big part of our economy that is.
That's right, and associated with that is the manufacturing economy that we have in Iowa, so much of which is related to the ag economy. We export more dollar value from Iowa in manufactured products than we do in ag products. It's hard to imagine, isn't it?
Yes. I think I read something in the Des Moines Register that we have a labor problem in that. We don't have enough people to work in those factories.
Which brings us to another important issue for Iowans as well as nationally, and that's immigration. And that's one of the things that we talk with the candidates about.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing your interviews. It sounds like there's a lot going on there. But back to our fund drive. There are many radio stations and television stations and other outlets that are making their living off all these candidates because they get so many campaign ads. And, of course, the listeners are probably getting tired of those campaign ads. Well, maybe not already. We haven't had too many hit. But the money really starts pouring in when you get closer to the primaries in 6 or 7 months. but KHOI, because we are a non-commercial station, does not accept those ads. So not only do we have balanced reporting, but you have whole days where you don't hear a single ad, no nasty attack ads, no telling you how wonderful a candidate is over and over, none of that. But that means that, of course, for our operating income, we need listener support. So those of you who are listening and have donated for this fund drive, thank you very much. Those of you who haven't, who maybe donated the last fund drive, which wasn't that long ago, remember the reason we do these twice a year is because the bills come in every month. And so we need you. We appreciate you. And we hope that you will consider sending in a check to 410 Douglas or bringing in a check. That's really a nice experience for us when you come in and we get to meet you. And or calling 515-292-2878. Or the most efficient probably and simplest is just going to khoifm.org and looking for that yellow donate button. So, thank you. And let's before Cal leaves, are there any unusual things. I guess, actually, the number of candidates, Democratic candidates, is going to be pretty overwhelming. Do you have any – what have you done so far to find – to get hold of them?
Well, I've gone to some sources here in Ames who should be on top of the individual campaign communications directors, and I've got a list of the names of so far almost all of the candidates, because some of them keep coming out of the woodwork, and there are, seem to be a lot of people who perceive that they can do the job of President of the United States. And I'm wondering if there's going to be a time when we start counting the people who aren't running.
And incidentally, have you investigated anything or heard anything about the candidates who may be running for the Republican nomination?
Well, from that perspective, I mainly have the news to go with, and I understand that President Trump will run again, and that Mr. Weld, I believe, who's a former office holder, who ran the last time around on the Libertarian Party ticket, that he has entered the Republican nomination process. So we'll have at least two people in that primary, and perhaps more.
Well, I heard John Kasich may be coming back.
Well, that's certainly a possibility. He's been commenting about things all along, so perhaps he'll jump in the race again.
Well, so it'll be you'll have an interesting summer and fall.
It is an interesting process, and it's I've enjoyed it thoroughly. I'm a rank amateur at this, but it's been fun to do, and it's been good to hear what these people have to say. And lots of folks will think, oh gosh, they're all the same. Well, they are not all the same, and many of them have sometimes slightly different positions on issues, and other times rather dramatic differences. So it's nice to try to ferret those out.
Well, thank you for doing the ferreting for us. This is KHOI Community Radio, and I'm Susan Franzen, your host for this hour. Thank you, Cal Halliburton, for being with me to tell us how you plan to keep KHOI listeners posted on the candidates from all parties who come to Ames to speak to voters. Thank you for being with us. And for the latter part of our program, we're turning to local theater in Boone with John Hoffman, the director of the upcoming play. And we'll be ending the show with Susan Guiazda telling us what to expect in Ames over the next month. I'm here with John Hoffman, who is the director of Jeeves Intervenes.
Yes.
A play based on the stories of P.G. Wodehouse, which is being produced by the Boone Community Theater, opening May 10th. So why don't you tell us about that play?
When I pick a play, I usually pick one from books that I love, and I've been a big fan of P.G. Wodehouse for a long time. I think back in the days of Doug Brown and the Book Club, and So I really enjoyed that. And when I found that four of these stories have been made into stage adaptations, I thought, I've got to do one of those. And so it's turned out to be a really, really fun ride. The script is really great. The script is by Margaret Rather, who adapted this. In fact, this one, Jeeves Intervenes, is a couple of different P.G. Wodehouse stories, the Jeeves and Worcester stories, mashed in together. And so for people that are not familiar with the Jeeves and Worcester, I'll say this, that it all takes place in London in about 1928. And Bertie Wooster is a fellow who's young and rich and has a little bit of character and hardly any brain at all. And so he's always getting himself into jams of one kind or another. And then his valet, Jeeves, is always – he's the brains of the family, and so he's always getting him out of it. So, and in this particular story, Bertie gets accidentally engaged to a young lady that his Aunt Agatha brings over. Now, Aunt Agatha, of course, is the lady who gladly wears barbed wire next to the skin, who kills rats with her teeth. He describes her as the nephew crusher of London. So she's always trying. She's got big plans for him, but he's just a happy bachelor and wants to stay that way. So he has this problem that he needs Jeeves to try to get him out of it. His buddy there, Eustace Bassington Basington, also comes over, and he has a problem with his uncle, that his uncle wants to ship him off to India to the bottom of the jute business. He thinks he's too idle, I guess. And so his uncle, Sir Rupert Watlington Pipps, is going to send him off. So Jeeves has got these two things to try to fix at the same time without interfering with each other. And so it's just a hilarious story and a really, really funny, funny show. I loved the script as soon as I read it. And so we had auditions several weeks ago. I got a great cast. They're just really fun, clever actors that have got a deep bag of tricks and lots of imagination to put into these roles, and they are really doing their homework very well. So I'm just really, really ready to put this show on and get it in front of some people, maybe some people that love P.G. Woodhouse and some people that have never heard of him before. Either way, you're going to enjoy the show.
I think you've pretty well summed it up, but I do have a question because, of course, Boone Community Theater lost its longtime home
Yes.
in the old school.
Well, we sold it.
Yes, you sold mm-hmm. it. I understand that more or less of necessity.
Yes.
Where are you going to be performing this?
Okay, so this show will be performed at the First Evangelical Free Church in Boone. It's on the south side of town, right on South Story Street. If you drive into Boone, it's one of the first things you see. And we've done one show there before. And this year we did one there. We've done others at a couple of different places. So we're kind of traveling a bit. One thing that we do have is we've rented some space downtown, and that's been a terrific space to do rehearsals in and to store all our stuff. You know, being a community theater, we just got a lot of stuff, you know, some furniture and a lot of costumes and props and things like that. So we have that place, and it's also a great rehearsal space.
But where is it?
It's at 705 Story Street, so it's right downtown Boone.
Is it upstairs or?
No, it's on the ground floor. There are apartments upstairs, and I don't know what the people that live upstairs think about us, but think, oh, there's that show on. It's just like radio drama, I think, for them.
Well, at least you're not doing a musical.
Right. Well, they did actually. The one we did before this was The Fantastics, which is a musical, and they rehearsed it there too. So I don't know if the people just really enjoyed that or not, but they didn't say much of anything. But anyway, so yeah, we have our rehearsal space there, and then we're finding area places around where we can rent an auditorium just to get in. Lots of good community-minded churches and other organizations. We had one up at the TK's Event Center out on the east side of town. That was where the Fantastics was. So we're being helped out by a lot of good people, community-minded people, and we really appreciate that, getting places to put our productions on. But we're still on the lookout for a building that we can buy or rent and make it our own theater. So, but anyway, that's where we're at now. But mainly, and it's nice to have the office space, and it's nice to be downtown, because out at our old Garfield building that was way out on the west end of town, people really didn't know kind of where to find us. A lot of people would still say, oh, there's a community theater in town. We didn't know that, because we weren't a place where people would drive by or walk by. Well, now our office space, at least, is a place where people can they're walking by all the time. So that's nice. It's a good location.
In past years, you've had summer theater for children. Do you have anything planned for this year?
Not this year. What happened this year was all of the staff all had things going on this summer, all of the directorial staff. And so they're going to take a year off of that and perhaps come back to it next year. We're still doing some other things. We did a summer or a spring workshop, as we usually do. in spring break time, did a spring break workshop for youth and considering some workshops for adults, too. We'll evaluate that after this year. The other thing I think is it's difficult to find something for the bigger productions like that. A venue for those is a little bit harder to find, but we'll get something here because it's just a great opportunity for the kids. We get ones that have never been on stage before, and for some reason, you know, youth that have never been on stage before, especially you get the ones down the preteen and the younger teenage, they haven't learned to be so self-conscious. And so they'll say, hey, I can get up on stage and do that. And so we get some kids that are great actors that never knew they were great actors. And so that's a lot of fun to do that, to be training up the next generation. That's really one of the two principles that Boone Community Theater was founded on, was the idea of constantly looking to the next generation and training up young people here, not only to act, but also to direct and produce and be techies. And there's just a place for everybody in community theater. So like I say, whenever I do a show, I think I try to accomplish three different things. And one of them is to put on a good show that audiences will like. And the second thing is to have fun doing it. It's got to have fun in community theater. And the third thing is to try to learn something. And so as a director, I'm learning something with every show that I do. And I will mention here that I'm co-directing this with Gary Gardner, who's been around BCT for quite a few years, but hasn't ever directed very much. He was co-directing another show about a year ago, and so I thought this would be a great thing. I bring him alongside, and so we're directing this one together, and I'm kind of showing him what I know, and he shows me what he knows. He's another guy that's just great about doing his homework. It's interesting with the number of Jeeves and Wooster stories that there are. He's read quite a few of them, did his homework, figured out a lot of things, just things that are mentioned in passing. He's done research for a bunch of these things, I think. So he's great to have on board also. And like I said, the cast is just terrific. They're a lot of fun. I make them do a little bit of homework and make them learn about their character. And you know, I say, here, you're going to present your character to the rest of the cast. And it's an exercise I usually do as a director. And so that makes them think about what their motivation is on stage rather than just saying my line because it's my line and it's in the script. But anyway. So we're really looking forward to putting this show on. It's going to be May 10th and 11th. That's Friday and Saturday. And those will be evening performances. And then the next weekend, and the 16th and 17th and the 18th, the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And Thursday and Friday will be in the evening, 7 o'clock. And then the Saturday performance will be a matinee. Always like to put in at least one matinee to let people come see the show that don't like to get out at night.
So there's just one matinee, though.
The 18th, mm-hmm. Yes.
And the performance times are?
There'll be 7 o'clock for the evening shows on the 10th, the 11th, and the 16th and the 17th. And then on the 18th, the time is 2 o'clock. Tickets will be available at the door, or you can buy them online at boonecommunitytheater.org. Where we'll be at for this show, we have plenty of seating, so I don't think we're going to sell out of any shows, so you can just come and pay at the door. There won't be any problem finding a seat for you.
No reserve seating, then.
No reserve seating. Just come up and pick your seat out. And have fun. It's going to be a great show. The show is just ripening now, and just going to be perfect when we get it up on stage.
Well, thank you, John Hoffman, for Boone Community Theater. And now we're moving back to Ames. We have Susan Gwiazda, the Ames Public Relations Officer, here to tell us what's going to be happening in Ames in May.
Good morning. It's great to be here. We were just talking about how nice it is to see the sunshine and the weather warm up. It's going to be a great month here in Ames. Lots of things going on. Today, in fact, we are working on a pedestrian safety outreach program on Lincoln Way. So if you happen to be around Campus Town area today, and it's Friday, May
3rd. Yes.
you will see City of Ames staff and some other people at the intersections through Campus Town, Lincoln Way and Ash, Lincoln Way and Lynn, Lincoln Way and Welch, and Lincoln Way and Hayward, handing out donuts to pedestrians and bicyclists who are, what we like to say, being observant, careful, safe pedestrians. And in saying that, I want to make sure that we're not in any way suggesting that safety is only the responsibility of pedestrians. We understand that drivers play a huge role in safe streets. But today we are going to be on the street corners giving donuts to primarily students, but really to all pedestrians who are out and about, who push the walk signals, who wait to walk, who are observant, maybe not distracted by phones or other things. And we just want to thank them for that behavior by giving them a donut. We've done this event in the past. It's been very popular. We have 1,000 donuts to give out today, and we have four intersections that we're covering. We think it'll take anywhere from 60 to 120 minutes, so we'll be there from 10 a.m. until the donuts run out, and we'll see how it goes. We typically get some good response to this. We're able to observe. What's really interesting is that as a driver, you sometimes don't get a complete picture of what's happening at the street level with safety. And so as a driver, you may be concerned that it looks like people aren't attentive or that pedestrians aren't aware of you. But when you're on the street level watching the drivers, you'd also get a sense of people driving too quickly. People, one of the big mistakes is making a right turn on red and not being aware of pedestrians crossing. It can be a very dangerous situation. And I think the overall message here is that we all need to look out for each other, regardless of what kind of transportation we're using. Bicyclists, pedestrians, drivers all need to be aware and stay very focused on the task at hand. It's very easy in today's world to get distracted. And but for today's event, we're really looking at rewarding pedestrians for the type of behavior we want to see.
But what about drivers who might want to get in on the donuts? Is that, have you taken considered that?
If they pull over and stop and walk up to us, certainly we will give people donuts. But we don't want people stopping along Lincoln Way to ask for donuts. That would not be helpful at all. So,
no drive up.
No drive up service for today's event. In fact, we really hope drivers are aware of what's happening and keep their eye on the speed, because we're doing this in conjunction with the Ames Police Department, and we're looking at some increased speed enforcement along Lincoln Way. So you really need to be careful. I would say that in general, most people do not feel comfortable speeding along Lincoln Way. There's a lot going on, and just the way that there's so much activity tends to keep the speeds down to the recommended speed limit. But we do see distracted drivers, and that is not a good idea. So put the phones away, put the radio away, just focus on driving. And because we know it's a very, very population dense area, and we just need everybody to be looking out for one another.
And with the new green bike lanes, there's only one of those that I – and it always worries me. I've never seen any bicycles in it. It's the intersection with Lincoln Way and
– Clark.
Clark,
yep.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so that was a pilot project a year ago, and the idea would be is that as we reconstruct streets, we look for ways to be what we call multimodal. Multimodal is kind of a funny word. A lot of people don't get it. It just means many modes of transportation. So when we reconstruct streets, we're not just looking anymore about being vehicle focused. We're looking at how would a pedestrian use this street, because the street is often reconstructed along with the sidewalks. So how would a pedestrian use it? How would a bicyclist use it? And how would vehicles use it? And how can we make it the safest for everybody? So when you start seeing the green bike lanes or bike lanes in the streets, It may seem disconnected at this point, but the idea is you're laying the foundation for a more connected transportation system in the future. And we have to start somewhere. So we start now while we reconstruct them. And over time, we hope to connect them all.
So it really is the education of the drivers. There's a bike lane that, again, I believe it's on Clark, that goes past the parking lots. And I often think if you drove out of that parking lot, you'd have to be really careful. You're not going to see a bicycle. If I was a bicyclist, I'd be very, very careful.
Yeah, and we see the same thing when cars turn right on red. They tend to look for traffic. They don't look for pedestrians or bicyclists that may be on the sidewalk that have the walk sign. So you may be trying to make your right turn. You're not always looking to the right. You often will look only to the left. And so we really need to retrain ourselves as drivers to be very aware of what our surroundings are. And bike lanes can be anywhere. You need to look left and right. Look both ways. Sort of that same safety adage. It continues even today. And it's even more important today as we promote more and more ways to get around. And I would say more eco-friendly kinds of transportation. If you're promoting that and suggesting people bike or walk, then vehicles need to be cognizant that those people might be out there and we need to look out for them. As you know, if you're in a vehicle and you have a situation where it conflicts with a bicyclist or a pedestrian, it's not the vehicle driver that's going to be injured. And so I really feel like the responsibility is even more on the driver to be aware of the odds that are so disproportionate for those other modes of transportation. So,
What's going on besides donuts today?
As the weather warms up and we talk about multimodal transportation, May is National Bike Week. And so the weather is just starting to get nice. And again, as I said, we are really promoting the idea of bicycling as a way of commuting. And so for the last couple of years, the Ames Mayor and City Council have hosted a Bike to Work Week breakfast. So Bike to Work Week is May 13th to the 17th. So Bike Month is the whole month. Bike to Work Week is May 13th to the 17th. And we kick off Bike to Work Week with a breakfast in front of City Hall from 7 to 9 a.m. And I'm always amazed every year, rain or shine, we have this breakfast, the number of bicyclists we get. Young kids come on bike trailers and on their own bicycles. High school kids come. And then your typical professional bike commuter comes. And we offer just an assortment of sort of light snacks and refreshments, some pastries, bagels, yogurts, fruit. Chocolate milk is a huge hit, and we've doubled our order of chocolate milk this year just because we didn't realize how popular it was. So we welcome anybody who's riding their bike to come visit us on Monday, May 13th in front of City Hall. We have moved this event inside to the City Hall foyer when there's been bad weather, and we're about 50-50 for the last couple of years. We've had to move about half of them inside. You know, it's nice to see the sunshine today, but as you know, we've had quite a bit of rain recently. And I'm telling you that the serious bike commuters will bike in all weather. So we'll see them regardless of what the weather looks like. And so we'll be there. And we invite everybody. You know, if you haven't been on your bicycle recently, this is a great opportunity to get on your bike. And all week, there are different organizations hosting these breakfasts. There is a schedule on Facebook. The Ames Bicycle Coalition tends to be the one that organizes these. The other thing we have coming up is the mayor's bike ride. So that was something that our mayor, John Haley, basically brought back last year. The first mayor and city council bike ride was last year. So this year it's the second one, Saturday, May 18th. Anybody who wants to come with the mayor on a bike ride around Ames is welcome to join us 9 a.m. in the City Hall parking lot, in the West parking lot. And we've charted out about a 10-mile bike ride around Ames. We try to highlight a couple of special sites to see. And in this bike ride, we're going to go by what I still call the old Edwards School site. So that's in West Ames. That will soon be developed into Edwards Park. So we'll look at that site. The building is gone now, but we will bike past that site. We'll actually look also the Healthy Life Center site. That's a West Ames site as well. We'll be biking past that. And then we'll be in a big loop, and we'll end up back at City Hall. No registration required. We really encourage bicycle helmets, very important part of biking. So join us at 9 a.m. on Saturday, May 18th for that bike ride. Some other things. We actually have received some awards recently. The Ames Police Department received some traffic safety awards. And again, since we're talking about public safety, it's kind of fitting that we received some awards that are all about reducing loss of life, reducing injuries, and traffic crashes in Iowa. The Ames Police Department was received the an award from the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau just a few weeks ago for their efforts in this area. And that was a really nice acknowledgement to receive. So we're happy about that. We also gave some awards. The Historic Preservation Commission awarded some local properties with Historic Preservation Awards. I'm sure that you're familiar with the adaptive reuse of the Crawford School Building. So that has been a really, really nice program and project, and that was recognized. And I don't know if you're aware of on Northwestern and 9th Street, there was the old Kelly's TV building. Yeah. So a lot of people have watched. I tend to drive that way on my way down to City Hall and have sort of watched in fascination as that building was kind of rehabilitated. And that building on it's called 827 Northwestern, won an award for historic preservation. It is an interesting building because it's built right next to the railroad tracks in kind of a triangular-shaped
building.
Yeah. And it had been – I didn't realize this. In 1915, that was built as a grocery store. So I'd only noted as the Kelly TV repair building, but it actually had started out as a neighborhood grocery store, and it served as a neighborhood gathering place. It has been rehabilitated and – now it is a commercial building that resembles its original character. It is a hair salon now. It looks like a lovely building, and I'm very interested to go in to see it. But the Ames Historic Preservation Commission recognized those two buildings, and that was a recent presentation at the City Council meetings. Before I get too far into May, I just wanted to announce that 6:30 p.m. on Thursday, May 9th, the Planning and Housing Department will be hosting a neighborhood meeting, which is a meeting for anybody who is interested in neighborhood issues, starting a neighborhood association, strengthening an existing neighborhood association, or maybe reestablishing one that has gone dormant. Ames has more than 30 neighborhood associations scattered throughout the community. Not everybody realizes maybe their home is in an established neighborhood association. Perhaps the association has been quiet or inactive. So this meeting, 6:30 on Thursday, May 9th at City Hall, is an opportunity to have that discussion about what can the city do to help support neighbors and neighborhoods, and what can we do to help strengthen those neighborhood connections. We have had several neighborhood associations that have bonded together to do a neighborhood improvements. We offer neighborhood grants. The Roosevelt neighborhood, to me, it comes to mind to me a lot. Roosevelt Park there was a lot of influence on that park by the neighbors. There's now permanent ping pong tables at Roosevelt Park, which is, again, another thing that the neighbors kind of rally around. But other neighborhoods don't necessarily have that central focus or rallying point. So what can we do to help your neighborhood become stronger? If this is something that interests you, please consider attending this meeting again, 6:30 p.m. on Thursday, May 9th at Ames City Hall.
I think that
is that
we're
it?
Almost
well,
out
I could
of
just,
time.
I could just keep going and going. Again, if you have questions about City of Ames programs or services, we always ask people to start at our website, cityofames.org. We are available on social media at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at City of Ames. So I hope I will see you again next month.
Yes. Well, thank you, Susan. You always make these
you know, fairly mundane things sound like so much fun.
It's very exciting.
Of course, you're always providing, I'm not always, but I notice food is a big thing.
Food is a good motivator for people. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I've been your host for today, Susan Franzen. Other voices you heard were Dennis Hart, Cal Halliburton, John Hoffman, and most recently, Susan Gwiazda. Thank you for coming in, Susan. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. There, you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. Local Talk was engineered by Cynthia McClure. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was Oh, What a Beautiful Morning from Oklahoma. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Or if you'd like to be an engineer, we will also train you. That's very exciting and very important. Or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. That's also what you need to know to contact us if you decide to become a member or renew your membership today. Just look for the yellow donate button. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.